This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Nowhere, Calvin Ridley is a Tennessee Titan. According to Ian Rappaport, the details, 4 years, $92 million with $50 million fully guaranteed. This is for a 29-year-old currently, obviously coming up on his age 30 season, a guy who missed the vast majority of the 2021 year, then had to sit out 2022. To me, Hayden had a really good, solid season in 2023, and now becomes a heavily, heavily paid wide receiver for the first time in his NFL career.
We should look at this as a two-year, $25 million per year deal guaranteed, and then it'll be a team option for the Titans afterwards. In the meantime, they're trying to figure out if Will Levis is their guy. Having DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley on the perimeter gives them two solid, established, reliable veterans. I think both DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley don't have the same juice. But I think what I like about this fit here for Calvin Ridley is he's probably going to have to win less in isolation on the line of scrimmage. And I think that he's going to be able to be moved around a little bit more in Brian Callahan's offense, which we right. saw with Jamar Chase, for example, rather than last year when Jacksonville was running out of options because of the other injuries. So I think that Calvin Ridley could look a little bit better this year, assuming Will Levis is capable as a passer.
So I think there's a number of layers we have to unpack here, okay? The first one is his fit here with the Tennessee Titans. And let's begin by saying, as you said, Brian Callahan is the new head coach of this team. He just spent a ton of time with the Cincinnati Bengals. If you listen to any of the interviews that he or Rand Carthon did at the NFL Combine, all they talked about was adding playmakers, okay? We saw Tony Pollard deal immediately come down the pipe. They obviously have Tyjae Spears already on the roster. And then for the team that today, and really the third day of free agency, has the most effective cap space remaining on their books, goes out there and spends this money on Calvin Ridley. The other segment of this is I believe fans out there, either that played fantasy football or watch games, might have a differing opinion of Calvin Ridley than me and you. They'll look at, you know, 76 receptions, 1,016 yards, 8 touchdowns and be like, that's not worth this much, $23 million per year, $50 million guaranteed. But what Hayden and I constantly tried to reiterate in Stats versus Film and every single show that we did throughout the season is basically since Zay Jones went down for the Jacksonville Jaguars this past season, Calvin Ridley was being played out of position. He was being used as their X wide receiver and having to win down the field without motion, without alignments over and over and over again until that kind of changed just towards the end of the year. So with Brian Callahan, who was a main architect of that Bengals offense, you kind of, if you want to be simple with this, can have DeAndre Hopkins in somewhat of the T. Higgins role, Calvin Ridley in somewhat of the Jamar Chase role, and then we roll from there. Is it as simple as that to you?
I think I basically do think it's as simple as that. Last year when Calvin Ridley was barely missing out on some production, I think it was because there were reps where he would get pushed near the sideline because he's a little bit more of a slender guy. And then previously he had a little bit more speed to get around that corner and downfield. This time he's not going to have to be pushed next to the sideline over and over and over again. The weird part about the fit though is it kind of goes down to like the Treylon Burks evaluation here too, is Treylon, DeAndre, Calvin Ridley only play on the perimeter. So Trey Lance played 77% of his snaps in college in the slot. Do they push him back inside? Has Treylon Burks even been productive enough to be part of this conversation? Also, maybe not as well, but the Titans are going to play a lot more three wide receiver sets this upcoming year. And I think they're trying to avoid the Bryce Young debacle from last year, where you got to at least be able to evaluate your young quarterback. And I think that DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley is a good enough 1-2 punch to at least get that answered.
Treylon Burks is a fascinating point of conversation here, because Rand Carthon, who again pulls a lot of weight in this organization, was not the general manager when they made that deal and obviously dealt away AJ Brown, who, by the way, is being paid just $2 million more annually in his contract with the Philadelphia Eagles. I also want to add another layer onto this is that Calvin Ridley's passing game coordinator last year with the Jacksonville Jaguars, I believe his name is Nick Holtz, is now the offensive coordinator with the Tennessee Titans. What you and I are saying about the role that Calvin Ridley played last year, misused, I would phrase it, the Jacksonville Jaguars understood that this offseason. And I think that they had this plan laid out, and some might call it a gamble, of, hey, in the early part of free agency, we're going to pay Gabriel Davis $13 million per year to be that boundary X ISO wide receiver who just wins on the field as a bigger body. And then once you get to 4 o'clock on Wednesday, when we can re-sign Calvin Ridley without getting the penalty of moving our third round pick that we traded to Atlanta, that would then turn to a second round pick if they re-signed him in the first 2 days, then we just re-signed Calvin Ridley. And it sounded like, Hayden, that plan was going according to exactly what they had hoped. It was them and the New England Patriots. And I do wonder if, you know, having to navigate those waters and balance the books in that way, the Tennessee Titans understood that in some way and said, oh, we're getting to this point where even if we give him this offer, he can't go back to Jacksonville and ask for, you know, despite the taxes and, you know, all that stuff, we can't go back to Jacksonville and they can't match this. So if we offer this, he's going to take this money. And that's exactly, to me, from a third party, how it played out.
Jacksonville just didn't have that much cap space, period. They had like $10 million going into today. So compared to the Titans, who I believe had like $70 million.
I feel like in the world of streaming services, it is very easy to forget that you subscribe to a platform for just one show, one event, one game, and then get charged over and over and over again. We've all been there after checking our monthly bank statement, and that's just the start of the process. After that, you have to find out where to cancel, how to cancel, click on this button, that button, email this person, that person. But now there is one easy way to take care of all of that. It is Rocket Money. It shows you all of your subscriptions in one place and then cancels them for you, whichever ones you do not want. And in fact, Rocket Money can find subscriptions you did not even know you were paying for. That's like an extra, you know, 5, 10, 15 bucks that you found in your couch cushion. Again, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and helps save its members an average of $720 a year, with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. So, stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/underdog. That is rocketmoney.com/underdog. rocketmoney.com/underdog. Today's episode is brought to you by Surfshark. You all know my obsession, Aston Villa Football Club, the greatest team in the world. Unfortunately, sometimes, because I live in Brooklyn, sitting in this apartment, I can't see specific content that is made around the club, that is geared towards Europe, that is geared towards Great Britain. Those are geo-restricted. And that, my friends, is where a VPN comes in, and that is where Surfshark comes in. It can seem like I am sitting in a coffee shop in the heart of Birmingham, England, so I can watch the highlights or the commentary of Douglas Luiz curling a shot in the top right corner, or Leon Bailey putting three defenders on the grass with his 1, 2, 3 crossover moves. And it extends beyond that. Can't see a YouTube video because of your location? Use Surfshark VPN. Do you want a larger library of Netflix movies to access, like in Canada? Use Surfshark VPN. It's totally risk-free with a 30-day money-back guarantee. And on top of that, if you enter coupon code underdog for an extra 3 months, they will give you an extra 3 months free so you can secure your privacy with Surfshark. Just go to surfshark.deals/underdog. Go and use it. It's super easy.
All of a sudden, it's going to be hard to win a bidding war when you just have less money to spend. There was also a report when it was Jacksonville and New England that Calvin Ridley wanted to be close to home and then also not be in a taxable state. Well, Tennessee solved some of those issues. Also, the familiarity with the OC as well. So coming in there and winning the bid at the last second was smart. And it wasn't predictable early on, but throughout today, once we started putting the pieces together, you can kind of see how the Titans had to spend this money somehow. And I think it's going to actually help us out in the mock draft world now that they have two of the three wide receiver spots for sure locked up. Maybe now at seven, are they a trade down team? Do they draft a left tackle of the future with Joe Alt, for example? Because at one point we were saying, is this a Malik Nabers spot?
Right.
I think this takes a little bit pressure off of that. If they like Malik Nabers over Joe Alt, sure, throw him in the slot. Let's boogie on. But they could also look at the left tackle in the first round now.
So they are at pick number seven. I had previously given them a Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze because of, you know, the situation that Brian Callahan was a part of with Cincinnati of, hey, do we take Jamar Chase or do we take Penei Sewell in that draft? And obviously they sided with Jamar Chase. And in many ways, the Titans were in the exact same situation. I don't know, though, like if they grade those wide receivers more higher than the offensive tackles, if you allow a 32-year-old DeAndre Hopkins from stopping you from taking one of those elite wide receiver prospects, you know?
And Malik Nabers can play in the slot, a vertical slot option. Totally. They need I'm with you, though, on the Treylon Burks stuff. I think right now, if the season started today, they would slide him into the slot and see what happens.
Right.
I don't think that anyone in this organization is expecting a whole lot from Treylon Burks at this point. And I don't think that they should.
We had these same concerns about Treylon Burks entering the NFL because it was a bunch of shorter crossing routes that he could win after the catch on. And every once in a while, he would be on the outside and running vertical routes and catching those on occasion, right? So his entire rookie season was basically learning how to play wide receiver on the fly. And he's also been injured ever since. You know, it's been awful head injuries. It felt like one after the other, right? And so, yeah, you're here in year three and it's almost
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, if you give us something, then we can, you know, bet on you moving forward. But if not, then, hey, now we can move forward in this other direction. You know, they have brought in Lloyd Cushenberry at center on top of this, not filling in that left tackle spot. It feels like that is the glaring hole. Mm-hmm. They still do have plenty of cap space, you know, like they maybe even could go pay like a Tyron Smith, for example, and really confuse this in the top seven overall selections. But I don't know if I am sitting here on, you know, March 12th, March 13th, and saying that, hey, because they signed Calvin Ridley, that means they take them out of wide receiver at number seven.
It doesn't take him out, but if I was doing a mock draft right now, I'd slide into left tackle. It's just a bigger need. Big winner for fantasy circles, Christian Kirk. I mean, Gabe Davis out there on the perimeter. He's doing the dirty work stuff. I don't think he's going to be a huge volume hog. The Evan Ingram and Christian Kirk numbers with Trevor Lawrence, who we're very high on, I think those guys are going to go absolutely nuts. At this point, it seems like they're going to keep Zay Jones. I think that if they were going to sign Calvin Ridley, then they would release Zay Jones. Maybe now Zay Jones stays on the deal. But I think that, I mean, Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram, I think it's a huge win that you're replacing Calvin Ridley with Gabe Davis, because it's not just the difference in the volume, it's also the type of roles. And they're going to have to scheme up a lot more stuff to Christian Kirk.
Yeah, I wonder if they pivot that Calvin Ridley money, which again, this was part of their plan. They definitely did want him back. If they shift that over to a different position, like defensive line, for example, like Eric Arms said, they're sitting there at pick number 17. Mm-hmm. Wide receiver is definitely more in play now. And this certainly will not soften or quell any comments Duval has, Jaguars Twitter has for Trent Baalke at this moment. Because sure. Again, the plans were in place Right. And if the Titans didn't come calling with this, it certainly sounded as if Calvin Ridley was going back to Jacksonville. We talked to Trevor Lawrence out there during Super Bowl weekend, and I asked him what he wanted his offense to look like in 2024. And the number one name he brought up was bring Calvin Ridley back, because he was out for so long and how much he changed, you know, the offense. And, you know, they were 3 inches away from another 3 touchdowns underneath it.
It is true. I also do think at a certain point, just the price tag matters. And I'm personally a little bit I think Calvin Ridley was a fine player last year. 25 million a year for the next 2 years, I would be a little bit nervous. And but especially I year three and year four, like I think is a little bit problematic. I think Gabe Davis is half the price of Calvin Ridley. And them prioritizing like getting Mitch Morse, for example, like would you rather have Mitch Morse and Gabe Davis?
I'd rather just have Calvin Ridley than Gabe Davis.
Yeah, but it's also $13 million, which they got a center and could do some other moves.
Yeah,
so but it's not if, one for if, one
if,
replacement.
But if they didn't sign Gabe Davis, they could have matched his contract. You know, I just felt like they had to do it because they couldn't sign Calvin Ridley on Monday, because then the third round pick turns into the second round pick. So like, again, all these things were aligned. They almost thread the needle. They just couldn't do it. I do think from a fantasy football perspective, though, that, and maybe I'm going to be totally off on this, but as I sit here instantly reacting, Calvin Ridley is in a worse spot here with the Titans than he would have been with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Definitely so. DeAndre Hopkins or Calvin Ridley straight up in fantasy circles. That's going to be kind of the Calvin 7th, 8th round debate. So, yeah, I can see it going either way. I don't think that either of them are going to be overly sexy. Like you said, we still think there's a chance the Titans can go with one of the stud wide receivers to fill that slot spot, because they might not trust Treylon Burks. But, yeah, I think for fantasy, I think the biggest winner here, it's Christian Kirk number one. And then I would say Evan Ingram again. Like, I thought they were going to take away those 100 receptions because that's not the most efficient use of targets. But I mean, at a certain point, Evan Ingram might be their second best pass game option right now.
Yeah, the quietest 100 yard tight end reception season that we have ever seen. Okay, maybe Treylon Burks does hit, and I think there is a possibility for him to be like a role player plus in the slot at the
big
very
Visca.
Least. Yeah. He's a very different player than Tyler Boyd. Let's put it that way, though.
Sure.
And they take like a left tackle at number 7. Okay. This is a really good situation to evaluate Will Levison. A really good situation to evaluate Will Levison, if that's the case. And I don't think the Titans are done. Like, on the defense side of the ball, we've seen them linked to L'Jarius Sneed. We've seen them linked to Justin Simmons. Like, these are all Eric Armstead's another player that Frank Carthon knows quite well. So, like, they still have money to spend. They're being very smart about it early on. I'm excited to see how it plays out because, you know, Brian Callahan was the first hire in this coaching cycle. He's somewhat of a total unknown because Zach Taylor was the head coach. Zach Taylor was also the play caller. Mm-hmm. But anything you read and just, you know, watching from the outside, how they translated and transferred the offense from when Joe Burrow went down to what Jake Browning stepped into. Not saying they made Jake Browning look like a superstar, but they were winning games with the dude and putting points out there. Mm-hmm. And that is difficult to do with that level of a talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all eyes on the offensive line. Even if they draft that first round left tackle, I would still be nervous about Tennessee and their offensive line. Last year was like a complete disaster. So, should be exciting for Will Levis. I think just two downfield guys, in theory, match up DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley with Will Levis's strengths. And it's got to feel a little bit nice for Tennessee to ruin their rivals' plans inside the division.
And the other team that was linked with Calvin Ridley and offered him a boatload of money was the New England Patriots. They are picking at number 3. Certainly indications point to a quarterback. The Marvin Harrison Jr. stuff will always linger there, but maybe the 34th overall selection would make more sense for a wide receiver than the number 3 overall selection. This almost feels like giving out, you know, your favorite band to the public before they hit it big. And hey, maybe you hate that I'm going to do this. I'm going to point to Pretty Ricky 213, who has, you know, people out there on Twitter claim they have sources. This guy, despite only having 6,400 Twitter followers, I'll reveal him to you guys, has been all over some deals a day or hours in front of national insiders, or at least them releasing their information publicly. The Darnell Mooney signing, the Brian Burns trade specifically to the New York Giants, and then the hours as soon as 3 o'clock hit, mentioning that a division rival was coming in for Calvin Ridley and offered him 20 plus million per year. Again, Pretty Ricky with an E 213 on Twitter has been the source so far.
Yeah, he's our generation's crack rock. I love these Twitter accounts. I don't know.
Except seemingly totally accurate every single time at this point.
Hey, crack
maybe they're the same guy. Person. Maybe they're the Come same on. Person. Who knows?
Come on.
Who knows?
They're both great.
DMs. All right. I mean, incredible stuff so far. Hopefully you checked out our videos from the first 2 days of free agency. That means you need to hit the subscribe button, hit the thumbs up on top of that. Be part of the, I don't know, 19% that have been watching our videos.
Yikes.
And hitting that subscribe button. Look how close we are to 100,000 subscribers. You can be here when we hit that moment. So do it. All right. We'll talk to you next time.